GoDaddy.com. Use the code BLU139 to get 10% off any combination of purchases at GoDaddy.com. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1345, May 27, 2010.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Manuka, Illinois. spent the night last night at Hardinsburg, Indiana. And then I got up this morning and went on over to Walton, Kentucky, which is a southern suburb of Cincinnati, Ohio. It's in the, obviously in the... Kentucky side. Of course, Cincinnati butts right up against the border with the Kentucky-Ohio border, and so they're part, really part of the metropolitan area is in southern, in northern Kentucky, in that area. So unloaded at Walton, Kentucky, and it wasn't, I went to a nearby truck stop that, where there's a couple of truck washes, and I got my trailer washed out. And so in the meantime, while I was sitting in line, they sent this load that was going to pick up at in the same area basically at Erlinger, Kentucky, which is still in the same metropolitan area, the Cincinnati metropolitan area, and it was going to deliver to Florida. And she said, well, we're going to get an appointment, a delivery appointment, and then before we send you the load. And so a little, so I went next door to there's a Flying J truck stop. So I went over there, went in and got a bowl of chili for lunch, came back out, and they still hadn't sent the load information. And so it was getting a little bit closer to the time, because it was supposed to load at 1:30 in the afternoon Eastern time. Getting closer to the time, so I, sent him another message saying, hey, go ahead and send me the address so I can go ahead and be driving up to the place where it's loading. And so I'll get there in time. Well, so a few minutes later, then they canceled that load. So, and then right after that, they sent a load that picked up at... Louisville that delivers, basically it delivers tomorrow or the next day in Manuka, Illinois. And so I accepted that load and I went, immediately left and headed for Louisville and got there mid-afternoon. It turned out to be a drop and hook. And so got the load picked up and then headed up here to... Manuka, Illinois, as quickly as I could, because at that point, since I started my day at 7 a.m. this morning on, central time on my logbook, had to be here by 9 p.m., and so I had about 10 minutes to spare, so I was able to make it. So, in any case, I'm parked near where I'm going to be unloading at 9 o'clock in the morning. At a cold storage. So that worked out. And so in the meantime, I'm continuing to remind them that I'm, that I'm supposed to be home, that I want to go home. And actually, I was supposed to be home on the 25th, but I guess since it's the, Memorial Day holiday, they couldn't guarantee that I'd be home. And I'm not really pressing the issue too hard. I'll just keep reminding them. So I don't know. But in any case, it was about 89 degrees today. This is probably one of the, this is about one of the warmer days I've seen, or warmest days that I've seen so far this, you know, I guess we're still in spring, and we're not really in summer yet, but this was one of the warmest days I've seen so far, at least in the part of the country I've been. Now, I'm sure if you go down to, you know, places in Texas and wherever, they've already had some really hot weather, but which is, you know, that's typical, but for that area down there. But for this part of the country, it was warm today. It was 89, so during the warmest part of the day. Anyway, I've got some articles and a little bit of email that I've been sent, and but before I get into that, I want to talk a little bit about yourbabycan.com, or Your Baby Can Read. It's a learning system for kids. It's amazing. It's called Your Baby Can Read, and it's changing the way families teach reading skills to their kids. We all want our kids and our family members, kids, to have the best learning tools out there, developed by Dr. Robert Titzer, a leading infant researcher, taught his own baby to read when she was just 9 months old. When he realized she was recognizing words at such an early age, he knew he had to share his breakthrough with the world, so he created Your Baby Can Read. Your Baby Can Read works because it taps into children's natural ability to learn language in the first 5 years of life using videos, books, flashcards, and games. His multisensory reading system has helped thousands of children. So you can try you can try this out by going to yourbabycanread.com and see for yourself. And they've got some home videos of kids, you know, infants and toddlers actually learning to read. And you know, they've got a 6-month-old baby recognizing words on flashcards, an 18-month-old who can actually read sentences, and a toddler reading Charlotte's Web to her parents. Go check this out, yourbabycanread.com, and give the gift of early literacy to your child. And let me go ahead. Now, Raw Voice is, who this is through, is offering a, if I can find it here. Well, let's see. If I type the right thing in, I'll find it. Guess I should have already, you know, I should have already had it pulled up, obviously, but I didn't do it. Okay, let's see here. Raw Voice is offering $45 to each producer, to the listeners for each producer. So one of the listeners to this podcast that sign up will win the $45 cash prize. And all you have to do is prove that you signed up. You know, send me some proof that you signed up for it, and you know, somebody's gonna get it. Somebody's gonna get the $45, and that's paid by Raw Voice. So, but it's looks like a very interesting system. So anyway, let me close out of that. And so I've got several emails that were sent to me by Ken that I want to read through. AT&T to raise early cancellation fees for new iPhone contracts. New York, AT&T Incorporated is raising the fees it charges buyers of the iPhone and other smartphones if they break their 2-year contracts, while lowering them for dumb phones to better align the fees with their real costs. Starting June 1, smartphone buyers will have to pay $325 for breaking their contract, up from $175 currently. For buyers of regular phones, the fee is being decreased by $25 to $150. Since AT&T is not selling many dumb phones these days, the early termination fee goes down for every month customers stay in their contract by $10 for smartphones and $4 for regular phones. So if a smartphone contract is broken after 2 months, the termination fee is reduced by $20 to $305. The changes only apply to new contracts and renewals since AT&T doesn't like selling new iPhones without a 2-year contract. To buy an iPhone outright with no contract renewal costs the cost is $600 for the top-of-the-line model. Dallas-based AT&T charges customers $199 for the latest model of the iPhone, but Apple pays and Apple Incorporated far more than that. AT&T makes the subsidy back through their expensive data and calling fees over the 2-year contract period. AT&T pays Apple anywhere from $400 to $600 for every iPhone sold, depending on the model. AT&T likely loses money for every customer that breaks a contract and pays a $175 termination fee, but may break even with the new higher fee. Meanwhile, simpler phones may cost AT&T only $125 to buy, meaning that a $175 termination fee is excessive. Following the same logic, Verizon Wireless doubled its smartphone termination fees in November from $175 to $350, and Verizon may soon raise their fee at another $50 to $400. Sprint, Nextel Corporation, and T-Mobile USA still charge the same termination fees for all types of phones, $200. All three also prorate the fees for customers who leave later in their contracts. The Federal Communications Commission has questioned Verizon Wireless about the higher termination fees for smartphone users, but hasn't taken any action. The prorating of the fees came about after the carriers settled several class action lawsuits by customers who found it unfair that they paid the full termination fee when breaking a contract after nearly 2 years of service with no late payments in that time frame. Which that doesn't make any sense. If you've worked out your whole contract, you know, or almost the whole thing, why would you break it right at the end? That's kind of stupid. So, anyway, thank you, Ken, for sending that. I got this email from Randy in Louisville. He says, Tom, you have my permission to have as much of whatever kind of sex you want as often as you like with as many people as you can stand as long as it doesn't hurt your shoulder. And that's from Randy in Louisville. And so I wrote Randy back and I said, well, thanks, but I don't need your permission. You know, I've got my own conscience. That handles it just fine. So, thank you, Randy. And Scott Mitchell, scottpodcast.com, sent an article or a link to an article, and it's towing company wants $750,000 from WMU student. Kalamazoo, Michigan, a Kalamazoo towing company that has received multiple complaints to the Better Business Bureau is suing the Western Michigan University student who started a Facebook page against the company. The 4-page lawsuit is filed by TJ Towing against Justin Kurtz. It claims that defamation of character and libel. It asks for $750,000 from Kurtz, who received the papers Friday. It was $750,000 for slander and defamation of character. Lost income, I guess, he said. It's kind of shocking. It's a little comical for how much he's suing me. Kalamazoo residents against TJ Towing is the Facebook page Kurtz started. He simply asked others to share their story, something he doesn't see as libel, Kurtz told 24-Hour News 8 on Monday. It's not like I was making untrue claims or anything, he said. It's not like I had control over anything that everyone had posted the whole time. I told everyone to be professional, don't post any threats, just tell your story, and that's pretty much what everyone did. Some students writing complaints on the page claimed TJ Towing had inappropriately towed their cars. while they were in their own apartment complexes or in visitor parking lots. Standard procedure is for the company's lawyer to write Kurtz a letter and have him retract the comments, Cooley Law Professor Kurt Benson said. The amount of money cited in the suit is also unusual, he added. Normally a number isn't specified in damages. TJ Towing's lawyer would have to prove Kurtz was lying, and the company faces a tough case, Benson said. So frankly, he's got an awfully hard lawsuit to win here, and frankly, I get the impression it's more like him sending a message to the community. Don't say anything negative against me because I'll file a lawsuit against you, he said. Part of the legal debate is over jurisdiction on the web. Well, in the internet, you're injured all over the world, Benson said. And so the big question is, could you, if you had a home in Florida and I posted something in Kalamazoo, you read it in Florida, could you sue me in Florida? Regardless, paying $750,000 is not part of Kurtz's budget or future plans. And the first few years out of college, I probably still won't be making a tenth of that, he said. I don't know where he thinks he'll get the money from. The Facebook page has now has more than 3,800 members. So, sounds like the, I don't know, this guy's made, this student, you know, whether he's in the right or wrong, he's just made a bunch of trouble for himself is all he's really done. You know, so you can kind of argue one way or the other, you know, but, you know, U.S. law, pretty much anybody can sue anyone for any reason. You know, and you have a lot of frivolous lawsuits. And, of course, Americans have been sue-happy for years. Zappos website loses $1.6 million in six-hour pricing screw-up. The ultimate computer website support employee screw-up, and this is an article that was sent by Ken. And the name of this, it's a sister site to Zappos. It's one of their other sites called 6pm.com. This past Friday between midnight and 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6pm.com, and that's the number 6, just the 6, and then pm.com, a Zappos sister site accidentally made the biggest pricing area in the company's history. All items in the store were capped at a maximum price of $49.95, a huge mistake since 6pm.com carries luxury items that can reach into the thousands of dollars for each item. Though obviously 6pm.com didn't advertise the sale, bargain hunter sites picked up on the error and publicized the vulnerable vendor, leading 6pm to lose over $1.6 million in those 6 hours. But despite the huge loss in revenue, the site isn't taking their mistake out on the customers who it profited. While we're sure this was a great deal for customers, it was inadvertent, and we took a big loss, over $1.6 million, ouch, selling so many items so far under cost. However, it was our mistake. We will be honoring all purchases that took place on 6pm.com during our mess-up. We apologize to anyone that was confused and or frustrated during our little hiccup, and thank you for being such great customers. We hope you will continue to shop, save, smile at 6pm.com. So our heartfelt sympathies to 6pm and especially to the poor guy who screwed up what's probably the one line of code that led to the whole mess. But our congratulations to anyone who came away with a haul of cheap goodies. Can you imagine that? You know, now at least this website, you know, they're gaining a lot of publicity, because I had never heard of this site before. I'd never heard of 6pm.com. You know, so they've gained a lot of publicity. You know, people are, and they've created a lot of goodwill because, you know, a lot of people are talking about this. So they're getting some publicity for their 1.6 million. So another article that Ken sent, HTC Evo 4G will have an HDMI dock. sold through Best Buy, HDMI cables still extremely hard to find. One of the things we bemoaned in our HTC Evo 4G review was the lack of an included micro HDMI cable in the box, mostly because they're still somewhat hard to find, but that worry can now be allayed thanks to this newly uncovered HDMI dock from HTC. It will work with the micro USB port at the bottom of your Evo for data and power transfers, but the main attraction will obviously be its compatibility with the phone's Type D connector and HDMI 1.4 connectivity. Before you rush to your nearest Best Buy to get one, though, there are a couple of caveats. PC Magazine's testing of the HDMI output found some TVs only recognized a 480p signal when the EVO was sending out 1080p, and a number of apps, including Sprint TV, refused to send their goods out over the high-definition multimedia interface at all, which has something to do with copyright protection. It might be worth trying before buying in this case, as in most others. And then Ken has also sent along a link to a rather extensive review of the HTC Evo. And let me go ahead and make the type a little bit bigger because it's just, it's a little small. Let's make it a little, might as well make it big. There we go. Now I can see it easily. This review that I'm going to read is from, let's see, where's it from? It's here. Let me, well, wait a minute. There it is. It is from phonescoop.com is the website that it's from. All right. Okay, so we scroll back up to the top here. This is a really extensive review. The HTC Evo 4G would be an interesting phone even if it lacked access to Sprint's 4G WiMAX network. Its large, humongous touchscreen phone running Android 2.1 and HTC's Sparkling Sense UI. Besides all that Android has to offer, the phone is packed with multimedia, social networking, and other fun and useful features. It might be too large for some, and Sprint's nascent network was a mixed bag in my tests, but for internet addicts looking for a flagship phone, the HTC Evo 4G covers most of the bases. The HTC Evo 4G is a nice-looking phone, but it didn't win me over with its design. With a large 4.3 WVGA touchscreen, there's room for little else in the design, and it sometimes feels like you're carrying around a small dividing wall. It's still comfortable to hold for making calls, though thanks to a nicely rounded shell and grippy soft-touch finish on the back. Beneath the screen are the standard set of Android buttons, home, menu, back, search. The buttons are touch-sensitive, and I always prefer real hardware buttons to capacitive, but these worked fine and almost never missed my taps. On the right side is the volume rocker switch. It's a little small for my taste. I'd like more pronounced buttons. Up top is the screen lock power button, also a bit small. It's almost flush with the top of the phone and slightly off-center, so it was easy to miss. There's no camera button on the Evo 4G. That's a poor choice because the Evo 4G has a nice 8-megapixel camera with autofocus. It's much easier to hold a stable shot with a two-stage button on the side of the phone instead of using software buttons on the touchscreen. On the bottom of the phone are a micro USB port and a mini HDMI port. Mini HDMI is still a rarity on phones, though it's a bit more common on digital cameras. Still, HTC and Sprint should have bundled a mini HDMI cable with this phone, but none is included. Around back, there's a kickstand to keep the phone in landscape at a slight angle on a desk. This might be nice for casual viewing, but I imagine it's even more useful for video conferencing. I'll find out once the video conferencing feature goes live. Sometime before the phone is launched, the micro SD card is located under the battery. I'd complain that it's an inconvenient placement, but the real problem is the micro SD card is so difficult to remove on this phone. It's placed at an odd angle and not spring-loaded, so you have to pry it with your fingertips. Also under the battery cover, red plastic, lots of bright red plastic for a striking look that highlights the camera lens and the kickstand. It's a cool touch. The screen on the HTC Evo 4G was at times a bit disappointing. Under medium indoor light, the screen is crisp and clear. The text looks sharp and legible in the dark. Contrasting interface looks polished. Outside, the Evo 4G couldn't hold up to bright daylight. This made it tough to use for normal email and calling tasks, and nearly impossible to use the camera since you have to tap on an on-screen button to take a shot. In almost every way, the screen fared better than the AMOLED display on the smaller Nexus 1. It was a bit brighter with warmer colors and much better outdoor performance, but it could still stand some improvement. The HTC Evo 4G sounds great making phone calls. My callers sounded clear with no dropouts or sound problems. On their end, callers said I also sounded nice and present without any static or that distant sound to my voice. I was able to navigate my bank's voice command system with no trouble. The speaker was also nice and loud and fairly clear for a speakerphone. It distorted at the highest volume, but it did manage to get loud enough that I could use it for conversations in a fast-moving car. The Evo 4G also has a nice, loud ring. I could easily hear the ringer from across my house or when the phone was stuffed deep inside a backpack. When you talk about signal strength on the HTC Evo 4G, you have to distinguish between Sprint's established ubiquitous 3G network and the up-and-coming spotty WiMAX network. Sprint's 3G coverage is great, and I couldn't find a dead zone in the Dallas Metroplex, a huge sprawling area. WiMAX coverage, on the other hand, was not up to par. I kept my testing within the coverage zones on Clear's coverage maps since my local Clear reps are helpful in providing tower locations and details. Clear runs Sprint's WiMAX network, and Sprint owns a majority stake in Clear. Even when I was supposedly well covered, the Evo 4G had trouble finding a WiMAX signal. Sometimes I simply had to wait for the phone to scan a bit longer to connect, but often the signal just wasn't available to my test unit. Even worse, though, was the inconsistency in performance I saw on the WiMAX network. The Evo 4G offers a separate signal strength indicator for 4G as well as a control setting to turn the 4G radio off and on. In some areas of Dallas, specifically the northern suburbs that I call home, I would get a maximum 3 bars of the 4G signal, but the download and upload speeds I registered were, well, pathetic. Often the phone couldn't top 500 kilobits per second on a variety of speed tests. The top speed I saw for my town was around 2.5 Mbps, which is fine, but far below from what I expected from a 4G device, and I could never count on getting that kind of performance. Usually the HTC Evo 4G would hover between 1 and 1.5 Mbps. In a side-by-side test, my Google Nexus 1 on T-Mobile's HSDPA network often beat the Evo 4G connected to Sprint's WiMAX network. This was not always the case. In downtown Dallas and the more industrial areas, WiMAX performance was top-notch. I regularly saw speeds in excess of 4 Mbps, often coming close to but never topping 5 Mbps download speeds. Uploads were usually better than 1 Mbps. Strangely, even when I got fast downloads on my speed tests, this didn't always translate into the uber-responsive browser I was hoping for. Web pages loaded very quickly, but could stall at first, leaving me hanging. YouTube videos performed very well, though, especially with strong WiMAX signals. Battery life also hinges on whether you're using WiMAX and whether the phone is actually connected to the 4G network or searching for a signal. But it was still, I was still unimpressed by battery life even when 4G networking was turned off. With 4G, GPS, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth all shut down, the phone still managed about 5 hours and 15 minutes of talking time. That's pretty good, actually. It's more than the phone that I have now or the one that I had before. That's fine, but not impressive. With 4G turned on, things got much worse. During my first day of testing, I turned on the 4G radio and then forgot about the phone for almost 3 hours. The phone never connected to a 4G signal, and the battery was completely dead when I turned my attention back to the phone. In fact, it was so far gone that even after 20 minutes of charging, it didn't have enough juice to power up and stay on. With the phone properly connected to the 4G network and two devices connected to the Evo 4G as a Wi-Fi hotspot, I got just over 3 hours of use out of the phone. I was running constant streaming video on my laptop and browsing the internet on my iPad, and the phone lasted through a short afternoon of work. I can't imagine HTC stuffing a larger battery into this phone. The battery is already a 1500 mAh cell, among the largest you'll find in a commercial smartphone, and the phone already bulges a bit at the back compared to the thinner HTC HD2 on T-Mobile. So the moral of the story is that you should only turn on the 4G radio when you're covered by WiMAX signals, and when you'll actually be using it. In a mixed-use test without any 4G networking, I got a full day's worth of power out of the phone, but I needed to charge it every night. This may not be the phone to use for a round of Wi-Fi Mario Kart DS while on a camping trip, but if you're careful and you have a charger nearby, it will power you through your day and give you the extra 4G boost when you really need it. The capacitive touchscreen on the HTC Evo worked flawlessly. The phone responded quickly to my taps, and all of the multi-touch gestures worked smoothly. You can pinch and zoom in the photo gallery, web browser, and in Google Maps, and you can even pinch the home screen to bring up a quick look screen that shows all 7 home panels at once. Flick scrolling worked well too, and the phone has kinetic scrolling built in everywhere, so menus will stretch out and pop back when you scroll to the very edge. HTC's Sense interface doesn't replace Android so much as it augments it. I've always believed Android to be a bit complicated, but the learning curve pays off with a useful and highly customizable interface. HTC adds some style and practical shortcuts, as well as some great enhancements, mostly in the contacts and calling features. Otherwise, the Android design language remains. There is a drop-down notification menu, a pop-up menu from the menu key, and holding your finger on objects on screen usually produces some sort of effect. The HTC Evo 4G uses a 7-panel home screen that you can fill with bookmarks, application shortcuts, active widgets, folders that contain other items, and more. While many touchscreen phones let you place icons and widgets on the home screen, Android goes a bit farther. For instance, when you tap a navigation shortcut, you don't just open the Google Map app. You can jump right into the navigation session so that a shortcut might instruct the phone to direct you home every time you tap on it. HTC adds more options to the widget pile, and these are mostly useful and very good looking. I wish many of them didn't take up a full home screen, though. If you want the HTC Friend Stream, which aggregates your Twitter and Facebook status feeds, you have to give up a full screen. Web bookmarks, too, take up a full screen. Most of HTC's widgets have multiple styles and sizes available, but almost all seemed a bit large. Perhaps that's why HTC added the 2 extra panels, up from 5 home screen panels on the stock Android build, but I wouldn't mind some more compact options. To jump around quickly, you can hold down the home button and get a list of the recent applications. As I also mentioned, you can pinch on any of the home panels and get a pinwheel of home screens, a faster way to jump from one screen to seven. Deeper into the interface, there is an application drawer to hold all of your apps, and you can drag apps out of the drawer to create a desktop shortcut. HTC has added a splash of color to the settings menu, but it's still mostly white text on black background with a stem design for a jumbled selection of settings. It can be difficult to find the exact setting you need, how to completely wipe the phone's memory, for instance. Is that security? Phone storage? Nope, it's privacy, which makes sense but isn't exactly intuitive. HTC devices shine when it comes to calling and contact features, and the HTC Evo 4G is no exception. Making calls is very easy on this phone. There is a large phone button at the bottom of the home screen that takes you to a dial pad. You can dial a number or start typing a name into the number keys, and the Evo 4G will search your contact list for you. While the Evo 4G rings, or when it rings, you can set the phone to quiet down the ringer a bit when the accelerometer feels you pick up the phone. Once you're in a call, you get buttons to mute your microphone or activate the speakerphone. Pressing the menu key on the calling screen gets you three-way calling, and it was easy to connect to a third party. The contact list on the Evo 4G is spectacular. You can save as many phone numbers and email addresses as you can, and street addresses as you like, for each contact. Once saved, you can then start a call, send a message, or open a navigation session from that person's contact page. You can assign contacts to a specific group, or even tell the phone to always send that person's call to voicemail. That's interesting. Once you have synchronized the phone with your various social networks, the Evo 4G will also give you the option of linking address book contacts to your online friends. The phone gives you a nice level of control, so you can add contacts from Facebook, Twitter, and even Flickr, and then choose which picture to use as that person's avatar. Once you've linked a contact, you can also see more information on their address book entry, the Evo 4G updates and events from Facebook, as well as online photo albums from Facebook and Flickr. That's all available in the address book, mind you, not some extra widget or mobile website. The address book is also gives you information, useful information like recent messages from that person, and your complete calling history. The HTC Evo 4G comes with the normal assortment of Google apps for messaging, as well as a nice selection of social networking apps. Google provides you email support for POP and IMAP accounts, as well as a specialized app just for Gmail with support for labels and other advanced Gmail features. There's no instant messaging on board except for Google Talk, though plenty of other IM apps are available from the Google app market. Test Messaging uses HTC's own Messages app, not the stock Google Messaging app. HTC's app looks great, displaying messages in a threaded conversational style. Even pictures from MMS messages show up in the conversation stream, in addition to pictures and audio files. HTC's messages also let you send vCard contacts and vCalendar events, as well as location data in the form of Google Maps links and or even latitude and longitude coordinates. For social networking fans, the HTC Evo 4G comes with the official Facebook app preloaded, plus a couple of extra apps exclusive to HTC. Peep is an above-average Twitter app. You can check status updates, add pictures and location data to your tweets, and browse the list of tweeters you're followed by and following. Peep doesn't allow you to check trending topics, though, and updates could be a bit sluggish. Friendstream provides a variety of updates from your Twitter and Facebook accounts. Not only does it give you status updates, you also see when friends have posted new photos and albums and it even gathers the web links on your Facebook friends have posted at their walls. The on-screen keyboard on the HTC Evo 4G is very well designed, and HTC's software QWERTY is my second favorite keyboard on any touchscreen phones. It's useful with some cool features. If you want to type a number of or a symbol, you can just hold down the corresponding letter on the keyboard. We'll offer the symbols for that key. You can also access speech-to-text features from the keyboard. It isn't perfect, but Google's speech-to-text is very useful in a pinch, like when I wanted to send an email while walking the dog. Even with these great features, I found the HTC keyboard less forgiving than the QWERTY on my Apple iPhone 3GS. The Evo's 4G's keyboard is obviously larger, but I ended up with fewer mistakes on the iPhone because Apple's autocorrect feature is better than HTC's. The HTC Evo 4G has a solid music player app from HTC, but Android still needs a proper media sync tool. To compete with the best music phones around, HTC's music player doesn't pack a lot of features, like an equalizer or advanced audio controls, and it lacks the easy search capabilities of the standard Android music player, which lets you search the web or YouTube or simply clicking on an artist's name, song title, etc. It does look very nice, though, and all my album artwork came through just fine. There's a sort of Apple cover flow-like feature that lets you finger through album covers, but this isn't for browsing, as moving through at the line of artwork also skips to the corresponding tracks. When the phone is locked, HTC gives you music controls and album art on the lock screen, so it's fast and easy to skip around without jumping into the music player. There's also a selection of home screen widgets to play music in a variety of sizes from small to full screen. The phone has solid hardware for music and multimedia fans. There's a 3.5mm headphone jack up top so you can listen to tunes on your favorite earbuds. The phone uses micro USB to connect with a desktop machine, and it showed up as an external drive on my Mac and Windows machines. Transferring music was drag and drop easy, and the player found my music files without any help from me. I'd like to be able to organize playlists and manage music on my desktop, though. The phone also packs stereo Bluetooth, and I had no trouble playing music through my stereo Bluetooth speakers. With its huge screen, the HTC Evo 4G makes an ideal video playing phone. I loaded a variety of video samples, and they all looked great on the WVGA display. The phone couldn't handle videos at the screen's 800x480 pixel resolution, but smaller videos resized nicely and looked sharp and colorful. Again, the video player is even more basic than the music player, but I was able to scrub through movies with my finger and manage playback easily. The video playlist doesn't give you titles with your videos, though, so you have to have a few that are similar, like my test video at various resolutions. You'll have trouble figuring out which is which. There's a kickstand around back that props up the phone at a nice angle for video viewing. It's an easy option to watch some of the video without interrupting on my desktop machine or turning on my television set. It was most useful when I let the Sprint TV app play the news or program highlights while I performed other tasks. Besides your own videos, the phone also uses the new high-quality YouTube mobile service when you have a 4G or Wi-Fi connection. YouTube will look for the high-quality version of the video that you want. These YouTube HQ videos looked much better than what I'm used to on a mobile YouTube app. Videos that are high definition on the full site came through looking like real TV broadcast, not a streaming video. It's quite impressive, and it makes YouTube much more enjoyable on a mobile device. Too bad it doesn't work on Sprint standard 3G network too. The camera app on the HTC Evo 4G is very good with touch focus and a fast, easy menu system to change settings. Still, this doesn't make up for the lack of a dedicated camera button. Self-portraits were especially difficult on this phone, but you have to line up your finger before you turn the phone's screen away from yourself. Even then, it was very easy to slide a finger past the capacitive touch buttons beneath the screen, and this causes the camera to quit entirely. Otherwise, the camera boasts an impressive level of image control. You get white balance and ISO controls, in addition to a range of color, contrast, and metering methods. The phone can use face detection to make sure faces are in focus. You can geotag photos, and there are some artistic effects, including a few unique color filters like a solarize and posterize filter. In addition to the 8-megapixel camera around back, which also can also shoot shoot video at 720p resolution, there's a front-facing camera on the Evo 4G. It uses a 1-megapixel sensor and can record VGA videos. Best of all, the front camera gives you a view of yourself, so you can line up a self-portrait more easily if you don't mind the low resolution. The front camera will be much more useful when Quick and other third-party developers start producing video conferencing software for the Evo 4G. Quick's software should be available before the phone hits stores, but HTC tells me that any developer can use the front camera. One strange issue came up since I originally published this review. It seems that Quick and the Evo 4G fails to reverse the image it sends to the Quick website. Usually a video chat camera will show you a mirror image of yourself in preview, but your friends see a normal image. The Evo 4G shows your friends a mirror of you. Text looks backwards, right is left, and so on. It's not a huge problem, but one that I might have never noticed, but it's a glitch that could use a fix. The image gallery on the HTC Evo 4G is great for viewing photos and sharing them with your favorite people and networks. There are a few image editing tools available, nothing beyond cropping and rotating your photos, but the gallery offers a few different viewing styles, including a slideshow, which pairs nicely with the Evo's kickstand to make the Evo 4G a digital photo frame. The gallery supports pinch and zoom gestures, and zooming was very smooth on the Evo 4G. When you want to send a photo from the gallery, it's easy to share pictures with your social networks, Flickr and Picasa, or send pics in an email or MMS attachment. Unlike most other Android phones I've tested, the Evo 4G even includes the Bluetooth OP profile, so you can send image files over Bluetooth connection with your desktop machine. Photos from the 8-megapixel camera on the HTC Evo 4G looked pretty good. They looked better than most other camera phones, including other 8-megapixel phones I've seen recently. I'm looking at Ukin 2, whatever that is. But the quality still wasn't close to what you'll get from a dedicated point-and-shoot camera. Under good outdoor light, pictures looked sharp and colors were accurate. At full crop, though, details tend to fall apart, and an over-sharpening effect makes images look decidedly digital. I also saw plenty of noise in shady areas, even shots that were not so bright elsewhere. Inside, noise was much more prevalent, dominating every part of an image that wasn't blown out by the excessively bright dual LED flash. Using two bright, low-quality LED flash lamps does not replace a higher-quality xenon flash. And though the Evo 4G couldn't light up a dark room like a supernova, or could light up a dark room like a supernova, that didn't make pictures look balanced or well-lit. Photos will look great posted to your favorite social site or used as wallpapers or for desktop monitors. Some of the best pictures might be print quality, but the sharpening issues and unbalanced light will keep you from wasting paper on most shots. video quality didn't hold up as well as photos. I was especially disappointed with the so-called high-definition 720p recording. Sure, the Evo 4G packs in all the pixels of an HD video, but the quality was very low. Details were blurry, filled with compression artifacts and noise. In my video of the pool, for instance, it's impossible to discern individual ripples in the water. The camera can't hold up under the brightest outdoor lighting conditions, and it was even worse indoors. The Evo 4G's camcorder doesn't come close to replacing a real camcorder, and it can hardly compete with a mini video recorder like a Flip HD. Aside from the troubles I had with the Sprint network, the web browser on the Evo 4G is top-notch. Pages looked great on the Evo's screen, and layout, image, and text came through perfectly. The phone can handle multiple windows in the browser, and moving between open windows was a snap. The Evo 4G even gets some rudimentary flash support with a flashlight. It's a far cry from the Flash 10.1 beta I'm using on my Google Nexus 1, but this definitely is the best browser I've seen using the earlier flashlight software. Okay, I had to pause there for a second because my truck was it tried to start. I don't know if you heard it. It tried to start, and then it just, I heard the starter, it just kind of, it was almost like a dead battery, except it wasn't, so I don't know what happened, but I was able to turn the switch off and start it back up with no problem. So, I don't know, kind of weird. There it shut off. So anyway, let me go on here. It still had a tendency to crash the browser or stall on some intense Flash-based sites. They're talking about Adobe Flash. But for displaying simple banner ads and filling in the blanks on popular web pages, Flashlight, then L-I-T-E, Flashlight, on the Evo 4G did the trick. It wasn't as fast or as stable as watching Flash videos, but better to watch YouTube videos on the dedicated YouTube app and skip the rest until Flash 10.1 rolls around. Navigating pages was also a breeze. The phone responds very quickly to touch, even pinch and zoom gestures in the web browser. The phone did a fine job of resizing text frames quickly to fit the width of the screen as I zoomed in to get a closer look. The Evo 4G also gives you a deep settings menu to fine-tune your browsing experience, turning Flash on or off, controlling whether a page is loaded or its mobile or desktop version, and plenty more options. There are loads of customization options for the Evo 4G. You can set up the perfect set of home screen panels for traveling, and then save your layout and build your perfect setup for a day in the office. HTC offers a few preset suggestions, or you can customize your own. Besides all the shortcuts and widgets you can add to the home panels, you also get multiple designs for almost every widget, including about a dozen different clock designs. You can even use live wallpaper with the Evo 4G. You can also set up notifications and ringtones to your own specifications, assigning a different alert sound for different events or different callers. You can't change the color of the device theme, but the dark background interface can seem a bit stern at times. It also didn't help viewing in bright sunlight. I'd like to see some color themes preloaded or to liven things up a bit. The HTC Evo 4G has some of the best Bluetooth support among Android phones I've seen. My Bluetooth headset paired with no trouble, as did my Bluetooth stereo speakers. I was able to send files over Bluetooth to my Windows 7 desktop. The phone also supports PhoneBook PBA profiles to sync contacts with a compatible device. Bluetooth was easy to use and reliable in every case. Did I mention the 12 different home screen clocks available with HTC's Sense UI? There's a wide variety of very cool designs, and all of them are large and easy to read, except when they are difficult for obvious artistic reasons. You also get a clock on the lock screen to check the time quickly. Plus, there's a clock in the notification bar at the top of the Android screen. Tap the notification bar lightly and the phone will show you the date as well. The Evo 4G has a desk clock mode that gives you the time, temperature, and weather forecast. There are also world clocks, alarm clocks, a stopwatch, a countdown timer. HTC takes time and weather very seriously. The Evo 4G makes it easy to be punctual. Sprint has bundled its own Sprint Navigator with the HTC Evo 4G, and the phone also comes with Google Maps for local search and turn-by-turn directions. All of the location-based apps I tried worked very well. The phone had no trouble finding a GPS signal quickly, even when I was indoors with a scant view of the sky above. Normally, I'd recommend the free Google Maps navigation over the Carrier app, but Sprint doesn't charge an extra fee for using Sprint navigation. It's free with the phone's data plan. The Telenav created app worked very well and looked great, and it's really a matter of preference. I preferred the search features and linked phone directory of the Google Map app, but Sprint Navigator also has a fine point of interest database and great looking navigation interface. There are loads of location-based apps in the Google app market, and HTC has bundled its own fun app for travelers. Footprints let you record your location and a picture. It's a nice, simple way to track where you've been, especially useful when you'll be visiting loads of landmarks on your journey. You can take a picture, jot down some notes, and assign a category to your footprint, like dining, leisure, and shopping. The Evo 4G can act as a tethered modem, or it can generate a Wi-Fi hotspot using its own network connection. When you have 4G coverage, this is an awesome feature. I tried the hotspot with my laptop, my iPad, and even with other smartphones, and speeds were fantastic. When my WiMAX connection was solid, I was able to stream high-definition video, hold IM chats, and browse the web quickly. Even when the phone wasn't connected to Sprint's 4G, I was still able to connect my devices to share the 3G signal, and that was good enough in a pinch. That tethered modem support doesn't come free. To tether up to 8 devices to the HTC Evo 4G, you'll have to pay an extra $30 a month. That's on top of the $70 monthly voice and data plan, and an extra $10 Sprint is charging all Evo 4G users, whether or not you're using the WiMAX network. Compared to the Verizon deal on the Palm Pre Plus, which offers a similar hotspot feature for up to 5 users for free, this seems expensive. But the Pre Plus is an anomaly, and $30 is reasonable for this type of service. It's even a bargain if you have good WiMAX coverage, since 4G-capable Sprint Overdrive, a portable hotspot device that performs the same service, will run you $60 a month. So, that's the end of it. So, I would like to see this in the store, you know, and there is video that he took, you know, and he'd uploaded it to YouTube. And, you know, so he had a video that he took with the front-facing camera. And then he had another video that he took with the camera on the back that was supposedly high definition. And I, you know, he had it, it was the high quality on YouTube, and it didn't look all that great, to be quite honest. And then the other thing that that did not impress me with the videos that he took was, you know, it's still, the sound wasn't all that great. You know, it sounded cheesy. So, I kind of suspect that they haven't really taken the sound quality of the built-in microphone as seriously as they could have. So, don't know about that. But, so it sounds like the phone has, you know, it's got some really nice features and then it's got a few little shortcomings. So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see if I decide to get it or not. He did have video of it, and it looks like a pretty cool device. So, I don't know. I really don't know. Anyway, probably better be cutting this off. Get headed to bed. Hope everyone's having a great week. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.